So, Tony, welcome to the Main Street Mugs live show. We're excited to have you. And, you know, the way that I found out about you was obviously by Facebook, because I'm always seeing your Facebook post, and you'll just put a random number, and it's like, where does this guy get this? So I guess question number one, so that people that maybe don't know who you are can get to know you, just kind of introduce yourself. Tell everybody who you are, you know, how the website started. Let's just get an introduction into Tony Castelnuova and Disney by the Numbers.
All right, we'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Tony Castelnuova is obviously my name. The website started, let's start with that, started probably about 2 years ago. I started, you know, just reading some Disney books about Disney, different Disney history and stuff. And I noticed that all of them had this, I'm going to say, thread of these numbers. It was like, you know, they were telling you how many feet something was tall, how wide it was, how many people sat in it, how many tons of steel and concrete. And I said, wow. I said, I wonder if you can collect all this information and just start assembling it.
Right.
And I said, well, what if I, like, write a book? So it started out becoming a book. And then I got an Apple computer, and I was using iWeb, and I started throwing this stuff up there. And iWeb is not a robust web tool. It you know, it's good to get started, but it's not the best thing.
Right.
So I went out, bought myself a domain, bought a tool that allows me to you know, put the site up together. It's called Rapid Weaver.
Yep.
If anybody's interested and has a Mac, it's only for Mac. Then I went out and bought some writing, a writing tool for the Mac called Scrivener. So now I have a tool to keep track of my book. I've sent it out to about 6-7 publishers. So hopefully this thing will get published someday. It's not a priority, but it'd be nice.
Hey, if Lou Mangiello can do it, anybody can do it.
Well, we all aspire to the Lou Mangiello.
Yes, we do. We all bow to the tiny Italian.
Yeah. It, you know, hey, I believe he's making money off some things, so, you know, that's a good thing.
It's, we love Lou. Here on the show, well, I should have clued you in. Here on the show, we love Lou. We just make fun of him any chance we get.
I'm using so much restraint at this point, gentlemen. I'm just using every ounce of restraint I have because Tony is here and our guests are listening.
Yes.
But yes. I will say, Tony, everyone needs a little Italian once in a while. That's what I'm saying. Bada bing. Boom. How do you like that? So,
I did meet Lou at the D23 party, the one-year party down in Disney, obviously. And it was the first time we met. You know, we had talked to each other. We had written emails to each other, you know. So it was the first time I got to meet him. There was a bunch of people down there, too. It was,
There's a number for you, 23. Now, obviously, D23, you know, is they chose that number. Speaking of numbers, they chose that number because it's very specific. And tell us a little bit about what 23 is synonymous with in the D23.
Well, it's the year that the Disney company started back in 1923. It was the year that Disney founded the company, and things got off the ground from there. So, you know, thank you, Uncle Walt, for having this great vision that, you know, there's millions and millions of people that are, you know, after this dream.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we talked about kind of how, you know, how it started. It kind of started with a book, and then you moved on to a website. And so how long have you been doing this again?
I'd say the website's been about 2 years. The book research has probably been about three.
Okay. Okay.
So, I would say about three for the book. Took a little bit longer. It started really, I started just writing stuff down in a Word document, and, you know, every time I found something with another book, a lot of the research started in a library. You know, it was just me researching this stuff for no reason. I had no purpose for it. I really didn't think I was going to put it in a book, but that's what wound up becoming of it. So,
hey, Tony, we've got our first question of the night for you.
Great.
Mary from the chat room asks, what about the number 35?
All right, let's see what we can find.
35. And by the way, while you're looking it up, I just want to share Tony's website. It's www, and I shared it in the chat room, www.disneybythenumbers.com, all one string. So check him out. It's really cool. He's got a lot of good stuff. The blogs are great. So definitely.
And
so the number 35.
Yeah, we'll link his site from our site as well. Yep.
Here's a great number. From Main Street to the Jungle Cruise is 35 feet.
Really?
Wow.
But you can't see it because, you know, obviously of the sight lines. But it's 35 feet from Main Street to the Jungle Cruise. So,
you know, there you go. Mary, 35 feet. There you go. Main Street to Jungle.
It sure feels like it's further than that when you're having to meander
your
way through
a sea of people.
That's
because I'm trying to convince in the world to take the train, but everybody wants to walk down Main Street. But someday my train idea is going to catch on.
So Tony, I have, you know, one question I was wondering was, you know, first off, where does this data come from? I mean, not just where do you find the data, but I mean, like, are these just people that are bored one day and go, I think I'm going to measure how far it is from Main Street to the Jungle Cruise? Or, I mean, is this like stuff that's in, you know, construction information from the Magic Kingdom? Or, I mean, how does that work? Where does this stuff come from?
Yeah, a lot of it is from books. You know, there's Disney has a ton of books that they publish themselves. You know, Imagineering has published books over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go on eBay or half.com, you know, you just type in, you know, Disney books, you'll find like a ton. And then, you know, some of the older books that really have some great details, unfortunately, are now, you know, $150, $160. Yep. So, you know, I try to find those, in the library system. If you can get them out of a library system, hey, that's free.
Right.
So I try to do that. Another secret is, and I won't tell you where to find it, but Disney publishes a fact book every year.
Really?
And, yeah, if you're an investor, you'll know where to find it. But they publish this great fact book with all of these statistics of, you know, how many movies did they put out, how much movie – each movie made, how many people went to the park that year, all of this great information. They also have on, if you can get access, if you can claim yourself to be some kind of news media person, they have a website as well, and they publish what they call Fast Facts.
Yep, I'm a member of that as well. Yep. Sure am.
So you can get Fast Facts now through their news outlet, and that's a great place to get information. So it's just... You know, and the internet. I try to, you know, Wikipedia is good, but you know, I try to check the references that, you know, are referenced there, right, to make sure they're real. You know, that somebody's not, you know, just making this stuff up and posting it.
Right.
You know, so I try to make sure it's valid. And you know, at least two sources.
And there, you know, there are some obviously, and I'm sure. In fact, I'll kind of go ahead and ask you this. You know, there are some very random numbers, you know, like, for instance, you know, I'm sure someone has gotten bored enough to count how many of the personalized bricks are, you know, there as you're walking to the turnstiles, you know. I mean, because I was, in fact, that's, you know, I'm a little strange, I'll admit. That's things that run.
A little?
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Continue, Michael.
Those are things that run through my mind, you know. I'm like, I'll give an example. You know, I will approach Tomorrowland, and you may have the answer to this, Tony. If not, okay, you can probably find. I'll approach Tomorrowland, and you know, the on top of the Astro Orbiter, it's got the planets that spin. You know, mm-hmm. My mind, I'm going, you know, I wonder how many times those things go around during a day. I don't know why I wonder that, but I just wonder stuff like that. You know, and I don't even know if there's an answer to that, or who would care, other than me.
It's 11 revolutions per minute.
Bingo! There you go. See, I knew it. I knew you would have that. Very cool.
I'm doing the math right now, but I can't do that because the park hours change. And if you had early extra magic hours, then oh man, that's going to throw my stats off. So I will work on that during the show.
Apparently, apparently Amy's a math whiz. Unless she's just typing random numbers, Amy just said 2,780. Is that your guess as far as how many times, or is that just a random number you threw out there, Amy? Amy's the mouse expert in the chat room. Right. Glenn, go ahead. Ask Tony a question.
Okay, so let me get back to your website. I got to tell you, I was reading through and I touted some of your blogs. One of the reasons I really like Tony's blogs, especially the one I read first, was the one about the California Grill celebrates the 15 years at the top. Not only does he give a blog about a critique of the restaurant, but he also gives a cocktail formula, the Golden Gate cocktail. And I think, wow, I mean, this is my kind of guy. So nice. Well done, young man. Well done.
I'm not going to take 100% credit for that. That did come from the Disney blog today, their cocktail restaurant. That happens to be my favorite restaurant, is the California Grill. Every time I go, I have to eat there. It's, you know, no matter what.
Right.
And when I saw that today and I saw that cocktail recipe, normally I wouldn't publish the recipe because I don't, you know, if right. kids are reading the website, I don't want to condone drinking. You know, but
leave that to me then. Okay, good. Go ahead.
Tony, we have actually Amy was I think that she's testing you here. Amy's number was 2,780, and she says that that is a significant number at the Magic Kingdom.
2,780. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we get.
Hmm. And she knows. She's quizzing people in the chat room herself.
I
tell you what, she quizzes us every week.
She does.
So, Tony, don't feel bad. If you should just hear it. Well, like when we do our critique of the week, if we get one iota of one thing wrong, we're done. Amy, we're going to get it. So we try to be as factual as possible. So
I don't have anything for that. So that must be a good number.
All right, Amy, I'm putting you on the spot. I'm calling you out, girl. You got to call in 407-499-4335.
Yeah, I'm interested now.
Yeah, enlighten Tony on what 2,780 is.
And, you know, that is true. You know, if you know, I've had people you know email me and say, "Hey, you know, I was reading, and one of your numbers is you know off." And you know, I usually you know ask them, you know, well, why? How do you know? And usually it's a cast member, which is a great source. So you know, I don't mind updating or changing anything if you know you can, you know. Kind of prove that, hey, you're a cast member and you know better.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, I don't know if she's going to call in. She may be being shy tonight. Oh, but she said that 2,780 is the length of the Big Thunder Mountain track.
Really?
Wow. The number I came up with from Google was the Disney character the Disney character warehouse is at 2780 South Reservoir Street, Pomona, California. I'm completely off. I'm on the wrong coast. I'm at the wrong address, and I'm not having much fun in a warehouse. So, anyways, so Amy did say that she
she is right. She is right. I do have that number, but maybe because I didn't put the comma in mine.
There you go.
Man, we're getting all kinds of questions, guys. And once again, I'm not getting on to you. I love your questions in the chat room, but we want to hear you guys tonight. 407-499-4335. Don't be shy. It's just me, Glenn, Tony, and a few other million people listening. It's cool. So go ahead and call in 407-499-4335. But we do have a question from Mary L. in the chat room. She says, I want to know how much steel, Tony, was used in the design of all rides at Walt Disney World. Now, that might be...
Wow,
that might be, you know, wow. Yeah, that's quite a test. How much steel was used in all the rides at Walt Disney World?
Wow. Yeah, that would take a lot of calculating. Yeah. I'd say looking at Big Thunder Mountain here, it says that 6,500 tons of steel beams, rods, and mesh were used to construct the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Wow.
So that's just, you know, one, if you take the castle – there's a lot of steel put into the castle. I think I just posted that last week.
Yep, and no bricks. It's all fiberglass.
No bricks, yep.
yep.
Yeah, 600 tons of steel were used in Cinderella's castle.
Wow.
So
now there's one question, and I don't know if you know this or if it's even released. And once again, I'm a numbers guy myself, even though I'm terrible at math. I just wonder things, you know. You know, and this may be kept private for obvious reasons, for security reasons, but I would just like a ballpark figure of on a given day, how much, you know, income comes through, you know, how much does Disney do in a day? I mean, because you know that they're making bank, but just how much bank are they making, you know, because is it in the millions? Is it in the, you know, I mean, do you have the answer for that?
I don't have the answer, but I can tell you this. I was a cast member. And a Brinks truck comes to the Magic Kingdom three times a day to haul away money.
Goodness. Wow.
Yep. And speaking of that, by the way, speaking of numbers, I don't know if you saw this, but the profits were released today for the first quarter or for the second, their second quarter. Wow. Good year so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll get to those later. Those are different numbers.
In a down economy, I mean, you know, they're, you know, all these special, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? The special promotions and everything.
Incentives,
I mean, they're really paying off. I mean, you know, which in a way kind of doesn't make sense because if they're discounting things, you're thinking, well, how can they still have as good of a bottom line? But I think it's all about putting butts to the turnstiles, you know? It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, I think if they get enough people through the turnstile, I mean, once you're there, you have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to drink, and you're going to buy something. Yeah.
Mary L was kidding. She said, I don't know how much they take in a day, but I gave them over $3,000 2 weeks ago.
yeah.
On behalf of Disney, Mary, thank you very much. We appreciate your contribution.
That's right.
As a stockholder, I say thank you.
yeah, really. Tony, we're up against our bottom of the hour break. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. And you guys, get your questions for Tony ready. 407-499-4335. He's going to hang out with us a little bit longer tonight. So get those questions ready. Also, I will work on having the critique of the week up by the time that the break is over. But you guys sit tight. Once again, call us with your questions for Tony. 407-499-4335. Main Street Mugs continues after the break.
Main Street Mugs.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Silent Killer Gas Passer.
Mr. Silent Killer Gas Passer.
Last night you had the enchilada combo platter. This morning, the three cheese omelet with broccoli. This afternoon, you're a ticking time bomb. A simple elevator ride is suddenly a 42-floor plummet into the very bowels of hell.
Could you take my breath away?
Who did it? Who cares? Sweet mercy, please just someone light a match.
Sweet, sweet mercy.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh ninja of the nasty. And while you're at it, crack open a window.
Mr. Silent Killer Gas Passer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's the problem in the marriage bed that no one likes to talk about. Maybe that's why they call it silent but deadly. Well, now there's a real solution to a very real problem. Introducing the Better Marriage Blanket. On the outside, the Better Marriage Blanket looks and feels just like a soft, warm comforter. But on the inside, it contains a layer of activated carbon fabric, the same type of fabric used by the military to protect against chemical weapons. Flatulence molecules easily pass through the cotton shell and are harmlessly absorbed into the layer of carbon fabric. Even when used on top of bed sheets, offending molecules are absorbed before anyone knows they're there. So whether you or your spouse suffers from a health issue or just the occasional disagreeable meal, you owe it to your marriage to try the Better Marriage Blanket. It makes a great wedding gift or anniversary gift too. To order, call 1-800-981-1134. Just three easy payments of $39.95. Online at buybettermarriageblanket.com. Order now.
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Better come down here, get some of this. You like to eat? America loves to eat. So why not open up somewhere America can sit down, enjoy a meal, and get their feet rubbed. We'll fry anything you want for $5.99. As long as it's friable or edible, we're going to make it deliciousable. We will fry parts of the chicken you didn't even know was friable. The beak, the feathers, we'll fry candy bars. All that European stuff that you don't really normally eat, we'll bring it down here and fry it for you. Ask McDonald's to fry something other than what they normally fry. Guess what you're going to get? Nothing. If it fit through the dough, I'll put it in the fryer. This is a dinosaur. All our meats are gently tenderized to their optimum deliciousness. We got fine dinosaur meats. Come on down here and get you a slice. So friends, let's just decide you don't want no barbecue. Well, that's fine too. Why not let one of my foot specialists or myself perform our magic? Look at that, don't they look wonderful? If you really pay me enough, we'll massage your feet in any of these sauces also. Success is the rule down here, Jones. Good barbecue and foot massage. So go ahead and give me a call or find us on them worldwide internets at the new website. That's J-O-N-E-S, bigtruckrentalandstorage.com/... Jones, the barbecue and foot massage .html.
Check it out, gas prices blowing up sky high. Ditch my used subcompact for a two-wheel drive. Now I'm rolling eco-friendly, but I still look bad. When the bike store saw my credit, they said this was all they had. I'm singing F to the R to the E to the E to the C to the R to the E D I T. Free to the port to the dot.
Advantage.
It's the time of your life.
This year, you're invited to celebrate life's special moments with Disney. Birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, promising new beginnings, and so much more. So join Disney Parks, where the only thing to decide is, What will you celebrate?
The magic begins the moment you realize you can't afford a Walt Disney World vacation. Contact Amy Sinclair to learn how at earsofexperience.com, the official Disney travel planner for Main Street Mugs.
There we were, surrounded by pirates and aliens.
Our family went on a Disney cruise.
Mom had green stuff all over her face.
Katie loved the spa treatment.
There was sword fights, laser guns, and my sister went to a princess tea party. Yuck!
We all had a blast.
Disney Cruise Line has something magical for everyone of every age.
To learn more about Disney Cruise Line and the new Disney Dream setting sail January 2011, contact Amy Sinclair at earsofexperience.com.
Hey, I'm Whitney from Epcot, and you're listening to Main Street Mugs.
Welcome back into Main Street Mugs Live with yours truly, Mike Miller. Glenn Watts rejoins me. Tony Castelnova rejoins me. Hello, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Tony, we still got you. There we go. So before the break, we were asking Tony questions. And, of course, you can keep them coming tonight, 407-499-4335. You can type them in the chat room tonight. And, Glenn, I was typing furiously throughout the break. The poll
you did
of the week
you did it. Congratulations.
If you're not seeing it, all you have to do is refresh the page, and it is underneath the chat room. And once again, just so we know, run down the critique of the week choices again, Glenn.
All right. We have five. The sum of all thrills at Epcot, which is currently leading with 100% of the vote, by the way. So if anything else you want to see, let us know. The second is Dream Along with Mickey at the Magic Kingdom. The third is Tower of Terror at Hollywood Studios. Fourth is Coral Reef Restaurant at Living Seas at Epcot. And the fifth is Disney's All-Star Resort Hotels.
Very cool. Very cool.
And, so again, currently Epcot is, I'm sorry, the Sum of All Thrills leading with the most votes.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And we did that when we went on our trip recently. And wow, what a cool attraction. And as of right now, it looks like that's what we're going to be critiquing. But there's still lots of show left. And speaking of lots of show, once again, Tony Castelnova from Disney by the Numbers, our special guest tonight. And he just wants to hang out and answer some questions about numbers tonight. 407-499-4335. But during the break, Glenn, we had several questions in the chat room. Why don't you fire those off for Tony?
We did. First one from Mary, and this is doesn't have a numeric value, but her daughter would like to know how many hidden Mickeys are in Magic Kingdom or Walt Disney World. So Mary, I'll take your question and just do Magic Kingdom maybe. Okay, that's number one. The second is how many windows are there in on the Walt Disney World property? Now that's going to be a big number. Wow. She's pulling out all the guns on you, Tony.
They're not asking for much tonight, are they, Tony?
Hey, listen, you're in the snake pit now. You're on Main Street Mugs. This is take no prisoners here.
You've got
folks out there like Amy and Mary, they're going to hit you hard with both barrels. The third, let's see. And Becky just mentioned that probably unknown as far as the number of hidden Mickeys, but I looked it up while I was on break, and I have no idea.
Well, I guess you're right there, Glenn, because, I mean, they're constantly being found out. I mean, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is about the hidden Mickeys, and we could do a whole another show about this, is that, you know, there are a lot of people that think they see a hidden Mickey, but it's not really an official, as the term official is, you know, it's not an official hidden Mickey.
Right. So. And, oh, by the way, just one thing. Amy in the chat room did mention the question of the week was how many days until the Miller family goes to Disney World? Mm-hmm. The answer is 17 days.
Yes, it is. So, yes, it is.
I knew that.
Yes, you knew that, didn't you, Tony?
So, Tony, what's the symbolism of 17? Let's use that as that's a good starter.
Let's see, 17.
Anything with 17.
17 days till I'm back in the world.
How about Space Mountain's got 17 in it somewhere?
Okay.
Let's see.
The amount of times I threw up the Fernando.
Wait a minute. Now, Becky's got. Oh, that's right. Becky's got 8 days. So we'll do 17. Oh, man, that's a lot of questions. So we got 17 and 8.
Right.
All right. So
I'll just keep track of this.
Got,
go ahead. No, 17.
Space Mountain was 171 million people had ridden on the old track, and a total more of 8 million.
Nice.
On it before it was refurbished in 1986.
Very nice. Boom. Double shot.
There you go.
Wow, nice.
Very good, Tony. So, Tony, like, you know, I've heard when we ask you questions, you're furiously typing away. You have a database. How do you keep up with all this?
Like I said, I bought this application. It's called Scribner, and it's really to create a book. But it's got a great little search engine. You punch in any little number, and on the left-hand side, it gives you a list of all of the items that have those – three numbers in it. So It's it allows you to storyboard your book. You know, you can do a corkboard, create an outline. You can put in keywords. You can create characters. You can create a little binder. So that's what I'm using to create my book right now. So
very cool.
Also
very
works
cool.
as a great search engine.
Yep. And how far back does your data go and your research?
Yeah, it goes back quite a while. I mean, if you can find books old enough with the facts and the information in it, you know, it goes back to most of the park openings.
Right.
Disneyland had a lot more information.
Sure.
They seemed to be a lot more public with the Walt Disney World information than they did the Disneyland.
Right.
But if it's out there, somebody has it. There's a lot of great websites like Extinct Attractions.
Mm-hmm.
Has great information.
Yep, we had a young lady on the show several weeks ago. Her name is Allison Dassau. We did a show with her, and she runs a website called Walt Dated World. Very cool.
Yep. I heard that.
Yep, her site is full of good information. And actually, that's a question for you, Tony. Maybe you can come up with a number for this. Because we don't like to forget Disneyland, but we just don't talk about Disneyland a lot because neither one of us. I've never been. Glenn's only been once, so we have more working knowledge about Disney World. So we'll just concentrate on Disney World. Since Disney World was opened in 1971, how many attractions have gone bye-bye? How many defunct attractions have there been?
Oh, wait. Now I have that on a table. Let me go find that, and I think I can give you a number. Let's see. Extinct attractions. Whew. Wow. Wow. It's not numbered.
Okay.
There's quite a few.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So let's just say, Tony, on your list, let's take the first attraction and the last attraction on that list. Can we do that?
Okay. Yeah.
If they're alphabetical, that's fine. A to Z or whatever way it's listed.
It was, how it disappeared in order of its disappearance. So,
that's cool. Safari, that's perfect.
Safari okay. Club. It was in operation from 1971 to 1972, and it was an Adventureland game room.
Hmm.
I believe that or not?
I do believe that.
Very cool. Very cool.
That was the first one, and the last one right now is the House of Treasures at the Caribbean Plaza, 1974 to 2001, and the interior was converted to a stock room for the adjacent plaza and sales area.
Very nice.
Gotcha.
Well done.
A number came up in the chat room again, and it's been answered, but I'll see if you know it. The number 98. 98, Tony.
Let's see. Oh, Big Thunder Mountain Ranch? No, that was...
You know, and the thing is, folks, like, just because Tony may not come up with the answer that you do, I'm sure that several of these numbers have multiple... things that go along with them. So just because Tony doesn't get yours doesn't mean that he's incorrect. It just means that that's, you know, he chose a different one.
Yeah. And speaking of numbers, I just want to throw this out. I know I'm stuck on these earnings from the last quarter, but can anyone, I'll just make this a chat room trivia question. Can anyone tell me how much Disney earned in the last 3 months ending April 3rd?
Hmm.
Anyone in the room?
All right, so 98 appears a lot, but 1989 was when If You Could Fly was retired.
Hmm, okay.
So
now, Rinst, her real name is Becky, commented in the chat room as well, and maybe you can verify this. She said that 1998 was also the maiden voyage of the Disney Magic.
1998?
Mm-hmm. And that's where the 98 comes from.
And let's go to Disney Magic. Yes.
Yep. Very cool.
There you go.
Ding,
nice
ding,
job.
July 30th.
Well done.
Becky gets a star.
Yep.
Ding. Ding. So Tony, you know, we always like to kind of, we talked about how the site started, how you got started in this, you know, but I think that people like us and people like you, you know, we're just strange. I mean, you know, I don't know that it's normal for grown men to sit around on a Tuesday night and talk about Disney, but by golly, we do it. And come to find out, there's a lot of people like us. There's a whole community of Disney, you know, crazy people. But let's talk about how your love for the mouse first started. Maybe talk about your first trip to Walt Disney World and kind of take us through how did it become so much of a passion for you?
Yeah, I am. I'll say this first and then I'll tell the story. I like to take things apart. Okay. So this numbers thing was almost a way for me to, you know, well, how do they do that? Why do they have 10 of those, and how does that work? So this really started back in 1976. Was our first trip. We were living in New Jersey at the time. The family got on the Amtrak train, and it was not the auto train. It was just the regular train. Mm-hmm. Took the 23-hour trip from New Jersey down to Orlando. I think the train station was in Sanford, where it still is today. And we rented a car. And at the time, my father's working for a hotel chain. So we were staying at a hotel. I think it was a Holiday Inn. For $15 a night, and actually might have been free because I think he was a manager at the time, but I think most employees could get a room for $15 a night if they wanted to. And we went down there for a week, and I was the there was only one park, the Magic Kingdom, and that was it. My father gave me the map. He goes, here, you know, we want to go see this. Make sure we get over there, you know, and I – you know, hold the map out, you know, like a tourist, and, you know, lead the family. I have two brothers and a sister. So there was, six of us with my parent. Mm-hmm. And that was it. We had a great time. And it became every year. My father hated the train, so every year after that we drove down.
Right, right.
And, you know, we had a station wagon, you know, the family truckster.
Nice.
The rumble seat. And,
you could look backwards. You could look backwards at the folks. Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Yep. You know, you'd make the little sound to the truckers on the highway.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we had the CB in the car, the whole nine yards.
Stop at Stuckey's and that sort of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So,
south of the border.
South of the border, of course. Right. Fantastic. Yeah. Boy, does that just I'm deja vu and all over again.
That's
here,
very
so.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. And so
that was it. I was hooked.
And so, how many times have you lost count on how many trips you've made?
Oh yeah. all I know is I've been every year since 1976, which was the first trip, and I was I'm probably dating myself. I was 13 at the time. I think there was about 2 years that I did not go, but then I also became a cast member for 9 months. I worked Epcot, and that was my primary area. I also did Disney Institute security when that was still under construction. I met Joan London there. She was doing a bit for the Very Merry Christmas Parade show on Christmas Day, and I got to meet her. And I also did security over at the Animal Kingdom while they were building that. So, when I say security at the Animal Kingdom, it's standing in a booth in the middle of the dirt, making sure that the dump trucks that come through are supposed to be coming through.
Gotcha.
That's funny.
Oh man! You know, we could do a whole another show on Disney security, but while I've got you on, I will kind of touch on this, and you know, this is totally off the subject of the numbers for a second, but you know, you're probably the closest to Disney security guy we're ever going to get. I know that, of course, there's probably a lot of stuff you can't talk about, but just, you know, just if nothing else, to kind of discourage people from maybe wanting to shoplift, please inform, just because you don't see a Disney security guard does not mean they're not around, because they have what they call them, foxes that just pop out of the holes.
Correct.
From nowhere.
Yep. Yeah, they are called foxes, and they prosecute for pencils. I mean, you could take the smallest thing, and they have a no-tolerance policy.
Yep.
And, you know, they say that they'll prosecute for pencils, and I've seen them do it for pencils. But, you know, if you apologize, you pay for the pencil, you know, you may get lucky, and they may let you off the hook. But I've seen them put grandmas in jail.
Wow.
You know, I don't want to say that, but, you know, if you steal, you steal.
That's
and.
Right.
That's their policy, because they feel if they're going to lose one pencil and everybody takes one pencil, that's a lot of pencils.
That's exactly right. You know, and I've almost inadvertently been guilty of shoplifting, because, you know, one of the big things to do when you come through a gift shop is, you know, you're playing with the toys, you know, and you're putting the hats on and you're taking pictures. And I've almost walked out with a hat on, you know, and been, hey, you idiot, you're about to get thrown in Mickey jail. Yeah.
And I was go ahead, Tony.
I said you'd probably be kindly reminded with a little tap on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir.
Mickey comes up and goes, oh, boy, you're not going to take that from me.
That's too funny. Yeah, actually, we saw that in action. We were my wife and I went in February, and this was a story I was telling to Michael, that we were actually in line for the ferry over to the TTC, and they escorted an entire family, the Foxes, and we didn't even know what was going on. They were like, ferry's going to be a few minutes. And they escorted an entire family off, and yep. It was all undercover, and we didn't know what was going on, and we didn't ask. I just took some pictures. So,
yeah,
yep.
Yeah
it
working,
happens fast.
Yeah, it does happen fast, and you know, they don't want anybody to know what's going on.
Right.
But you know, I always laugh because you know, it's changed since 9/11. But when I was working at Epcot at the time, I had from American Adventure to the International Gateway. That was my little patrol area. And there was a person that did the opposite side and then two people in the front of the park. And that was it. There were four security guards in the entire park.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
That was it.
Times
nobody
have
out front. Yeah, times have changed. I'm sure there are way more than four.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, they have. Don't. I mean, I don't want to put you in a position where you'd have to, you know, go against your contract or whatever in the past. But what about eyes in the sky? I mean, as far as they're always watching, yeah. There's got to be so
everywhere.
Many cameras that are there that we don't see that are part of the architecture. I would assume.
Yeah.
I'm always assuming that I'm being watched. So.
Yeah, it's like Vegas. I mean, the only place that there's not a camera is in the bathroom in your hotel room.
Right.
But there's a camera everywhere else.
Yep.
And there's a whole central facility. That monitors all of that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Which I got to tell you, makes me feel good, especially with kids, you know, taking the nieces and nephews. I feel completely secure there. So it's good.
Tony, let's talk about, you know, let's see if we can get some numbers here, because this is, again, something that I wonder about because I'm strange. You know, of course, we don't like to talk about the negative, but, you know, Disney transportation obviously been in the news a lot lately. We won't talk about the negative part there. But, you know, one thing I've wondered is, you know, since operation, approximately how many miles have the monorails traveled? Things like that. Do you have that answer?
I don't have that, but I can tell you, I think I have something on the buses.
Okay. That's cool. Because, man, the buses are probably moving, I guess, more so than the monorails are.
Yeah. Let's see if I can pull that up quickly. Let's see. I don't think that is in a – let's see. Well, there's 270 buses in service right now.
At any given time. Really? Wow. Wow, yep. 270. You know, and that just, you know, that I will say this, and we've talked about this. That just goes to show you that 270 buses in service and, you know, I think their safety record speaks for itself. You know what I'm saying?
So. Right.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, you know, I hate to say accidents happen, but, you know, considering the amount of people that are on property every day, 365 days a year, that's a lot of people.
Right.
And considering the timing, I mean, these buses are on the schedule. So, I mean, they're running, you know, in the circuit. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing that they do so well. I'm pleased.
So,
I mean, I have no problem as far as safety. So I never feel insecure there on the buses. So.
Yeah. 15 million miles are driven by the Walt Disney bus fleet each year.
15 million miles?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that number, I think, is probably a estimated average. I don't think that's you know, that came from Disney themselves, but I think that probably goes up and down per year, but it's about 15 million.
I love picking Tony's brain. You can too. 407-499-4335 if you'd like to call in a question, if you'd like to type it in the chat room, we can do that too. Glenn, the floor is yours. Any questions for Tony?
Okay, let's take some more numbers. So again, I came out with the earnings. So do you have a 953 anywhere? A 953, and that's a loaded question. So 953.
Let's see. Good there.
Hey Tony, you're breaking up just a little bit. Your audio went a little fuzzy there for a second. I don't know if there's anything.
Okay, that ain't better.
Nope.
It's the Skype gremlins.
They're out to get us. They're out to get
us. Hey, Tony, I'll tell you what. Why don't you do this? If you want to hang up and call right back, we can see if it clears up. You want to do that?
Yep, sure.
Okay. Yeah, hang up and call back. I'll be looking for you.
Okay.
All right. So, yep.
So while he's looking for that, I gave a loaded question. So while he's the earnings for the this quarter, $953 million. So just shy of a billion. So things are good.
Okay, Tony, you there?
Yep. Is that any better?
Unfortunately, no. I don't know what's going on there. All right. Plan B. This is a live show, folks. This happens. Plan B. Tell you what, just can you call on the regular telephone line?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, call the call-in line, 407-499-4335.
Okay.
Thanks, bud. All right, so it's live radio, folks. But we roll with the punches, right, Glue?
Well, Michael, you do such a good job. I mean, well, considering how much distance is between you and I and our guests, I mean, I think you do a great job. I'm giving you big kudos here, brother. Do a great job of controlling the show. So occasionally the gremlins do come up and nip at our heels, but we're good. Yep. We're going to work through it. We always have a plan B.
We have a plan B. That's right. That's right. I'm like a good Boy Scout, always prepared.
So while we've got a chance, I want to run down who's in the chat room, if you don't mind. We've got Dispan, that's Josh, mm-hmm. myself, you. Right. We got Mary, Amy, Becky, and three anonymous users. And again, if you want to remain anonymous, that's fine. If you don't, it only takes a second to get your own as far as the Cheshuga. So just go ahead and say get your own, and you don't have to give any secret information. So
it's very simple. Tony rejoins us by phone. Hey, Tony.
Hello.
There you go. Audio's not as good, but hey, we'll just have to deal with it. So you were saying, Glenn, I didn't mean to cut you off there in the middle of your
point. No, that's fine. I was just I was just welcoming the folks in the chat room, and I just wanted to go to the critique of the week. Let's do if we had a second. Currently, actually, Summit of All Thrills has some competition.
Ooh.
It currently holds 40% of the vote, but Dream Along with Mickey has 30%. The Tower of Terror has 20%. And the Coral Reef Restaurant has 10%. So thanks for voting, everybody.
And Mary,
appreciate that.
Yeah, Mary asked in the chat room earlier, she said, so if you get a tie on Critique of the Week, do you critique both? And sure, why not? It's never happened before, but
right.
Why not?
Absolutely, so, we can do that.
Hey, Tony, there's one thing, and I won't necessarily ask you for a specific number here, but if you have any facts you'd like to pass along, that'd be cool. One thing that blows me away, I'm a big fireworks guy. I'm a pyrotechnic, kind of person. And I do know this, some of the research I've done, I know obviously that Disney does basically at least two fireworks shows. I know sometimes they'll cancel Fantasmic depending on the weather, but at least two fireworks shows, 365 days a year. You know, weather is not a factor on wishes and or illuminations. And I think I also saw some research and some statistics, easy for you to say, that came down one time that said Disney was the second they used the most pyrotechnic shells, second only to the United States government. And so, are there any other stats you have, like maybe how many shells are used in a show or something like that? Any fireworks related facts?
Yeah, I have some stuff from Wishes, but you are correct that they are number two user of fireworks in the United States behind the government.
Wow.
So that's a lot of fireworks. Let's see. Well, here's some crazy stats about Wishes. There's a Tinkerbell, and there are some guidelines for Tinkerbell, like the person cannot weigh more than 105 pounds. And cannot be taller than 5'3" in order to fit through the window.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now let me ask you this: since we're talking about Tinkerbell, how high is the zip line up there? Any?
That I do not have. That'd be a good number to find out, but I don't have that. There's 11 locations around the Magic Kingdom where they shoot their fireworks from, and probably a lot of people know that they're not. You know, they're not actually firing from there. They use air guns to launch them into the air.
Yep.
So
I think I read somewhere as well that in order for them to be even more precise in their timing, that each individual shell has a computer chip on it so that they can explode the shell in direct timing with the soundtrack. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yep.
The other thing I know, too, is there's 557 fireworks firing cues. And there's 683 individual pieces that are used just for Wishes.
Wow. That is amazing. That is amazing. So we are going to take our top of the hour break. But guys, if you have more questions for Tony, he's going to hang out with us a little bit longer. Tony, is that correct? You're good?
Sure.
Okay, cool. And when we come back, we'll kind of move away from numbers a little bit, but still, once again, if you have questions for Tony, 407-499-4335. When we come back after the top of the hour break, we're going to talk about this new talking interactive Mickey Mouse that a few lucky folks at Disneyland got to see last week. We have videos on our website. Check it out. It'll blow your mind. Back after the top of the hour, Main Street Mugs Live.
Main Street Mugs.
A lot of people don't realize that change is a two-way street. You can come to us with 16 quarters, 8 dimes, and 4 nickels. We can give you a $5 bill. Or we can give you 5 singles. Or 2 singles, 8 quarters, and 10 dimes. You'd be amazed at the variety of options you have.
I was driving through Pennsylvania on the tollway, and to save time, I was using the exact change lanes. I had just run out of quarters, and I was getting a bit nervous when I spotted a sign for a citywide branch at the next exit. Let me tell you, it's a pretty good feeling.
I have had people come in with wrinkled $10 bills who want new, crisp bills to put in birthday cards. And we can handle special requests like that, usually the same day.
I just returned from a business trip to London, and all the cash I had was a 5-pound note. Citywide wasn't able to convert it to dollars, but they did give me 4 guineas, 2 crowns, 4 shillings, and 10 pence.
All the time our customers ask us, how do you make money doing this? The answer is simple. Volume. That's what we do.
It's Happy Fun Ball!
Yes, it's Happy Fun Ball, the toy sensation that's sweeping the nation. Only $14.95 at participating stores. Get one today.
Warning. Pregnant women, the elderly, and children under 10 should avoid prolonged exposure to Happy Fun Ball. Caution! Happy Fun Ball may suddenly accelerate to dangerous speeds. Happy Fun Ball contains a liquid core, which, if exposed due to rupture, should not be touched, inhaled, or looked at. Do not use Happy Fun Ball on concrete. Discontinue use of Happy Fun Ball if any of the following occurs: itching, vertigo, dizziness, tingling in extremities, loss of balance or coordination, slurred speech, temporary blindness, profuse sweating, or heart palpitations. If Happy Fun Ball begins to smoke, get away immediately. Seek shelter and cover head. Happy Fun Ball may stick to certain types of skin. When not in use, Happy Fun Ball should be returned to its special container and kept under refrigeration. Failure to do so relieves the makers of Happy Fun Ball, Wacky Products Incorporated, and its parent company, Global Chemical Unlimited, of any and all liability. Ingredients of Happy Fun Ball include an unknown glowing substance which fell to Earth, presumably from outer space. Happy Fun Ball has been shipped to our troops in Saudi Arabia and is also being dropped by our warplanes on Iraq. Do not taunt Happy Fun Ball. Happy Fun Ball comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Happy Fun Ball. Accept no substitutes.
I tried online dating, but I never found anyone who liked me for me.
My friends tell me I'm too picky.
I need to find someone who realizes how great I am.
I'm a catch. Women like me. But when I tried other dating services, they could never find anyone good enough for me.
Hi, I'm Dr. Terry McQuarren, founder of MeHarmony.com. When you sign up at MeHarmony, we only ask you questions about your favorite subject, you.
I can't believe how lucky I am. Sandra and I finish each other's thoughts,
and we finish each other's sentences. It's amazing.
He treats me exactly the way I want and deserve to be treated.
I don't know where I end and he starts.
I have never been so attracted to someone on every level.
I didn't think it was possible to find someone who loves me as much as I love me. But I found her. You should see people stare at us when we walk down the street.
They're jealous.
Don't you deserve the perfect match? At MeHarmony, we guarantee you someone who is exactly like you.
Thank you, MeHarmony.
It's the time of your life.
This year, you're invited to celebrate life's special moments with Disney. Birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, promising new beginnings, and so much more. So join Disney Parks, where the only thing to decide is, what will you celebrate?
The magic begins the moment you realize you can't afford a Walt Disney World vacation. Contact Amy Sinclair to learn how at earsofexperience.com, the official Disney travel planner for Main Street Mugs.
There we were, surrounded by pirates and aliens.
Our family went on a Disney cruise.
Mom had green stuff all over her face.
Katie loved the spa treatment.
There was sword fights, laser guns, and my sister went to a princess tea party. Yuck!
We all had a blast.
Disney Cruise Line has something magical for everyone of every age.
To learn more about Disney Cruise Line and the new Disney Dream setting sail January 2011, contact Amy Sinclair at earsofexperience.com. Hour number two of Main Street Mugs Live, back from Birmingham, Alabama, Boca Raton, and a little part of Pennsylvania, right, Tony?
Yep, sir.
All right. We've got all segments represented tonight. We've got the Southern boy. We've got the transplanted Southern boy from Boca, and we've got the Yankee. So we're all present and accounted for tonight.
But it's all East Coast. So y'all on the West Coast, don't hate on us.
That's right.
Don't do that.
Don't be hating.
We're East Coast. So
right.
East side.
East side.
I have to say this. I have my house up for sale, and I'm moving to Orlando.
Oh.
Okay.
Very
well, when
nice.
You're trying to get closer, so I can get better numbers.
There you go. Hey, Tony, the market's good here in Florida. It's really soft right now, so this is the best time.
Yeah. I know. I was down there about 2 weeks ago, house hunting in the area, and I was there in the '90s, and I almost bought a house in Celebration, which would have been about $400,000 back then, which is now $700,000, which is now $100,000.
Wow.
So,
very, very cool. 407-499-4335, the number if you'd like to jump into the conversation tonight and ask Tony any more questions about numbers or about facts, about really about anything tonight. He's kind of like a walking, talking encyclopedia of Disney knowledge. And Glenn, why don't you run down? Let's do a couple of things real quick. Let's do some housekeeping. Roll call of everyone in the chat room and also critique of the week results.
Okay, very good. We've got Josh, myself, you, Mary, Amy, Becky. We've got Anonymous 6464 and recently Anonymous 3241. So you guys who are anonymous, if you want to log in, that's fine. On the critique of the week, Mary's prediction may come true, by the way. We currently have a tie at 37.5% of the votes between Some of All Thrills at Epcot and the Tower of Terror at Hollywood Studios, followed closely by Dream Along with Mickey, Coral Reef, and fifth place is the All-Star Resorts. So keep the votes coming. We'd love to do whatever you guys want to hear about.
We love them. A couple of final questions for Tony. Tony, you know, one thing that you'll notice, or if most people will probably notice, if they go to the About Us section of your website, is that apparently this is a family affair. You've got a lot of Castle Nova names on the About Us section. So who all helps you with this?
It's really me. Those people help when they can, but they're not as passionate as I am.
Yep, I got you.
And you know, they do a lot of the administrative stuff, and I really just do the heavy lifting. So
right, and it's a labor of love. This isn't your real paying job right now. What do you do, out of curiosity, as your real job?
I work for, I guess I could say who it is, it just doesn't matter. I work for the Big Red Machine, Oracle.
Okay, gotcha.
I work in the methodology department. If you need an implementation methodology, call me.
Gotcha.
So all those Disney folks in Celebration and Kissimmee, if you're needing a methodology guy, Tony's your man.
There you go.
He's willing to relocate.
That's right. So, but like I said, it's a labor of love, and man, we appreciate it. You are just full of information, and Tony, like I said, we're not going anywhere. If you don't mind sticking on with us, we'll let you talk with us about the whole talking Mickey thing. But
sure.
Just take the next few minutes to basically, as we call it, pimp yourself out. Tell everybody about where they can find you, everywhere you are, and just kind of promote yourself. Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. This is great. All right. DisneyByTheNumbers.com is the website. You can find me on Twitter, DBTN. You can find me on Facebook. Oh, God. I have a Facebook group, which is just search for Disney by the Numbers. I have a group. I have a fan page. And then if you want to hook up with myself, it's Tony Castellanova. I think it's Facebook.DBTN1 will get you to the to me, and then you can find me on there.
Cool.
I don't do MySpace.
Well, who
I'm
does
starting...
anymore?
Yeah.
my what? I'm sorry, huh? My what? Who what?
My vacant space.
My vacant space, exactly. This space for rent?
Yeah, my graveyard. usually I start the day, every day that I tweet something out, I usually on Saturday pick what I'm going to do that week. You know, it can be Magic Kingdom, Epcot. I kind of go through, the list. And I send out one tweet in the morning, which is the fact of the day with some related picture. And then, you know, just tweet whatever else is going on in the Disney blogosphere for the day.
Right.
You know, do a lot of retweeting. If, you know, news or information comes along that I see that's interesting, I'll, you know, do that. And then at the end of the day, I usually just blog it all. So if you didn't catch it during the tweet, you'll catch the blogs at the end of the day. And all the blog and the tweet is all sent through Twitter and Facebook, so it's like a rehash. So somehow you'll see it.
There you go. If you can't find Tony, by golly, yeah. It's not because yeah. He's not out there. So
yeah.
So like I said at the top of the show, we will link your main website, your Disney by the Numbers. We'll link that off of our website. So if you forget all that, just go to the mainstreetmugslive.blogspot.com. Look for the heading websites mentioned on the show, and you can get to Tony's site like that. But Tony, you know, you mentioned Disney news, and that you blog a lot about Disney news, and one of the big things that kind of came out about a week ago, and you know, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know that Disney actually wanted this leaked like it was. And that is, back in Disneyland about a week or so ago, there were a few lucky people, and man, I would have loved to have been there, to see, I don't even know what they're calling it. Basically, it's, okay, if you've ever seen Dream Along with Mickey, or any of the, Disney on Ice shows, or even some of the Disney live stage shows that come to your city, if you've seen any of those shows that have the new, I think the proper term is articulated heads or animatronic heads, where the eyes blink and the mouth moves. Well, they've basically taken that and upped that a notch, and they have a Mickey Mouse, a walk around dress up character, Mickey Mouse, that is in his house at Disneyland. They had a room full of people of all ages, kids. And Mickey and the performer in the costume was talking and interacting with these people in real time. Imagine Turtle Talk with Crush, but with a real living, breathing, you know, you can touch it, you can feel it, Mickey Mouse character, just like the regular dress-up characters. But this one, his eyes moved, his mouth moved, and he was talking to them and calling them by name. Like, for instance, in our video, I think one of the girls' names was Maddie. And so in Mickey Mouse voice, he goes up and says, "Hello, Maddie. You know, you're a beautiful princess. Would you like to have your picture taken with me?" And it'll blow your mind. Once again, the video's on our website, mainstreetmugslive.blogspot.com. And, you know, I've said for a long time, Tony and Glenn, that, you know, I think this was just a matter of time before this happened. But man, what's your opinion? Tony, I'll put the question to you first. Like, dislike? You think they're kind of messing with it a little too much? You think they're blurring the line between real and fantasy? What do you think?
I think it's a good thing. I think this is, you know, like off the hook crazy that they went out and did this. You know, I read that they were sitting on this patent for 20 years too, which is kind of strange. But I think it's great. My only thing would be if you've ever taken, you know, small kids, you know, your 3, 4, 5-year-old, there is some apprehension walking up to a regular character, and now when the character's eyes are blinking, his mouth is moving, and a voice is coming out,
mm-hmm.
that's going to take on a whole new fear factor.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I dig it. I think it's great. You know,
my take on it is kind of like you mentioned, you know, what's taken them so long? Because,
yeah.
You know, I know when my kids first went to Disney back in 2004, you know, to a little kid, you know, they watch Mickey Mouse Playhouse, you know, they see him talking on stage, and then when they meet him up close, it's like, you know, Dad, Mom, why doesn't he talk to me? You know, it's almost like, does Mickey not like me? You know, why isn't he talking? And then you have to explain, you know, well, the characters, you know, they're not allowed to talk. And then, you know, I've also read some blog posting. And once again, we want your opinion, guys, 407-499-4335. But I've read some blog postings that a lot of people are kind of old school. And they're like, you know, to a child, they don't need Mickey to talk. It's all about imagination.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the longest time, that kind of goes to kind of show the talent of the character performer and being able to express their emotions just by their movements. Glenn, what's your opinion?
Well, thank you for leading into that. And I guess I'm old school. I think that part of the Magic Kingdom is your imagination and seeing the characters. interact in that half cyborg kind of Mickey thing is a little creepy. That's just okay. Amy earlier told me not to hold back, so I'm just going to say it out loud. I think a half cyborg Mickey is kind of creepy. Yeah. I respect the technology and I appreciate the investment that they've made thus far, but it's about imagination for me. And you know, again, call me old school, call me an old guy. That's all good. Yeah. It's creepy. So that's, you know, the blinking, the talking, the mouth. I'm not sure. I think under controlled circumstances, it might be okay. You know, say with Dream Along, that's a controlled circumstance. But you just never know what's going to happen. In fact, Becky in the chat room brought up a good point. What happens if the technology goes haywire during a live performance or a meeting with a child for the first time?
You know, I wonder if,
you know, the gotcha is, okay, wow. What happens if Mickey starts talking in his regular voice, or if, you know, sparks start flying out of Mickey's head? what then? Or his eyes roll back and his mouth goes agape? I don't know.
I bet it'll be on YouTube within about 30 seconds if that happens.
I will. And Tony, as a shareholder, you might see a percentage point drop in the stock prices.
Yeah, so just a little.
Just
bit.
Maybe a couple of points.
Right. But you know that. You know,
so that's my take. I'm old school, but that's where I'm at.
But you know, you bring up a good point though, Glenn, because you know I commented in the blog posting on the website, I said this really changes the rules, because I mean, how many years has it been that the rule among cast members, and especially, you know, the cast members that play the part of the characters, you know, one of the quickest ways to get fired in that role is to talk. You know, I mean, that's like you just don't do it. I mean, if you get kicked in the shins, you know, you better bite your lip, buddy, because if you make any noise, you're out of there. You know,
and there's some characters that don't speak that we've never actually. I don't know if I've ever heard, say, you know, like Minnie speak. I don't know what her voice sounds like. So there's some gotchas there. But with Mickey, it's fine. We all know we know what he sounds like. And Michael, you do his voice much better than I do.
Why?
But there, Goofy Weepert speak, Donald Weepert speak. Minnie, I don't think I've ever heard her speak. So, you know, back in the day when before the talkies movies, you know. So we had to use imagination. So,
right.
Anyways,
now Tony, you know, as being a former cast member, I mean, is it like I say, is it as strict as that? I mean, they're told you don't talk.
Yeah, there's no talking at all under any circumstance. You know, even if the kid lights your costume on fire, you can't scream fire. it's not allowed.
Right.
You know, and you know, there've been, you know, little incidents in the past where you've probably seen them or heard about them on the internet, you know, where, sure, you know, the person in the costume is passed out and literally they drag them, you know, Mickey off the stage in costume because, you know, to resuscitate, because you don't take off Mickey's head,
right?
You know,
right.
On Cinderella's court, and you know, while there's, you know, 4,000 people,
right?
You know,
you've got to protect the magic. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, so once again, guys, your opinion tonight, 407-499-4335. Glenn, the chat room looks like it's lighting up. What's the opinion in the chat room?
The opinion in the chat room right now is most people respect my old fartiness. However, they embrace the new technology very, very well. So
right,
I'm the minority, and that's fine. I'm good with that. But I think most, if I'm reading it right, besides the, you know, there's some that believe that it may give the kids nightmares, and that's possible. And maybe I'm the doom, you know, the naysayer. You know, I can give you the worst case scenario.
Right.
But most people think it's a good idea, and I'll give it a shot. I'm gonna kind of stick to my guns and say, what's wrong with, you know, the costumes the way they are, and what's wrong with Mickey the way he is? So.
Right. But you know, no pun intended, or maybe there is, but you know, it's like they're literally creating Frankenstein monster here, and they're creating a monster because, you know, where does it stop? I mean, you know, Minnie is next, and I'm assuming the Fab Five, and then does it move to Pooh and Tigger and Eeyore? And I mean, it's like, does this mean that now all of the characters will have to be interactive? Because, you know, now there's one thing I will say. You know, what appealed to a child 10, 15, 20 years ago, and the technology and the tricks and the special effects that used to work, well, the game has changed, you know, because you know, now, you know, kids probably have that, you know, technology that they were using 20 years ago in their bedroom. You know what I'm saying? So yep. It takes more to engage them. And so I do think that, you know, as we talked about this, over the course of the next several years, you'll see more and more and more interactivity in the attractions. But you know, the characters, wow. I mean, that's, I mean, and once again, it's not officially launched. It's still in testing, and I'm sure these are questions and things are all taken into consideration. But you know, I see that you know, like I said, where does it stop if this is a success? Tony, what do you think?
Well, I'll throw this question out. So, you know, they have the live Muppets mobile lab.
Right.
You know, so I don't think it's really any different than that or even Turtle Talk with Crush. All right, Crush is a piece of film.
Sure.
But, you know, we can all see the dangling mic in his tank and right. His interaction with him. And the kids conceive him as real at that point. You know, they've broken that barrier down and said, hey, you know, this turtle's actually talking to us. So, and you watch kids interact with the Muppets Mobile Lab. They, you know, that like freaks them out. They're like, oh my God, they're talking and they're, you know, squirting me. And, you know, I think this is the next evolution in, you know, your meet and greets.
Right.
You know,
right.
You have face characters. They talk to you.
That's true. You're right. You're right. You're
Cinderella
exactly.
talks to you. Sleeping Beauty talks to you. Snow White talks to you.
Right.
Why not Mickey Mouse?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Mary said in.
Go ahead. This is a good one. I'm liking Mary's style tonight, by the way.
By the way, so. Mary, welcome. We hope you'll come back next week and join us because you're a lot of fun. She said, you mean Crush isn't real? And, you know. But
I didn't know that either, Tony. I'm sorry. Thanks for bursting my bubble there, buddy. Actually, here's the thing I was thinking about, and it goes contrary to what I was saying earlier, but they've tried this before. I don't know if you guys, and I'm dating myself a little bit, but back at Epcot, back in the day, in the 90s, they had the Dreamfinder walked around Epcot with Figment. And if you guys remember that, Figment and Dreamfinder interacted with...
That's right. I do remember that.
Yeah. So it's been out there before. I'm just this, you know, with Figment and Dreamfinder, that's one thing. With you know, with the mainstay of the Enterprise being, you know, Mickey, I don't know. So I'm just saying, and I don't know, that didn't last very long, but it was there and they did interact. So they've done this before. I just don't know how this is going to play out.
Well, you know, so. Tony, you mentioned the patent. You know, they've been sitting on this for about 20 years, but you know, the technology, because I'm a techie. Let's talk about that for just a second. From what I understand...
Actually, I'm looking at the patent right now.
The technology is amazing because, you know, from what I have read, and I believe this is correct, you know, now let's go back. A critique that Justin and I did back in the day for the Dream Along with Mickey, we were incorrectly assuming that the character, that the movements of the eyes and the movements of the mouth were somehow controlled, you know, remotely through the DAX system or whatever, kind of like the, you know, everything's automated on the parade route. Well, we were quickly by a cast member who plays Mickey, who probably could get in a lot of trouble for saying this, but, you know, we won't reveal the identity there. They told us, you know, that no, you know, let's give some credit where credit is due, especially in the live shows. The character performer is actually controlling the movement of the mouth and the blinking of the eyes with hand movements. And, you know, it's when you're watching it, you really have to pay attention because, you know, they're so good that it's, you really don't notice it, but they're controlling everything that they're doing along with dancing and everything else. It's wow. They're very, very, talented, but, for the new Mickey that you're seeing in these videos, I'm not sure if the same concept is or the same technique is used to control the blinking and the head movement. But I did read that at least the voice is a voice transformer, kind of like what they use to transform a voice in a, you know, in a song or a movie, where the person in the costume can talk in their regular normal voice. They don't have to be an impersonator of Mickey, but when they talk, it comes out through a speaker, I suppose, and it's in Mickey Mouse voice. Is that what you're seeing as well, Tony?
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing in this patent. It's a voice changing patent, but you know, there's also some other interesting thing on here, and I'm not sure how it's fitting in. They're talking about some kind of window, some kind of segmenting window. So I don't know if they're, you know, the character, the person inside there is actually going to, you know, make the eyes blink. It may be. Hmm. But this patent is really about the voice changing technology. Gotcha. So
which is amazing, you know, that they can do that. I mean, it's I don't know. It's really kind of cool, but it's kind of like Glenn said, you know, what happens, you know, because everything eventually breaks at some point. What happens when Mickey's talking?
I'm just thinking creepy right now. You guys just creep me out completely. I'm thinking of Terminator, like what number Mickey is this? Is this Mickey T101? No, the reason I say that, and Rianne Becky in the chat room brought up a good point where, you know, is this kind of like, and Becky, forgive me if I'm misleading you or whatever, misquoting you, but is this like a West Palm? Like, remember in with West Palm and with Push, the talking trash can in Tomorrowland, you know, is there, if this is going to be controlled by the character and then do, you know, especially say, for instance, the Dream Along, you know, the dancing and that sort of thing, that's going to be a lot of work for that cast member inside. But, you know, is there going to be a third party that's doing the voice? But if you're saying that the patent reads that there's a voice, you know, modulator or whatever, then yeah, that's a lot of work for that particular cast member.
All right. I mean, what happens if the guy playing Mickey is a chain smoker and it breaks?
All right, wait. I'm gonna break down some Disney secrets here.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Let's start. Characters are based on height.
Right.
Obviously, Goofy is a tall person. Sure. Mickey and Minnie are tall people.
Right.
So depending on the height of the person, you don't really, you know, men don't get assigned to Mickey and women get assigned to Minnie.
Right.
For all you know, Minnie is a guy and Mickey is a woman.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yep. You're right.
So that, you know, that could happen. And I think for the show, I don't think they would use this voice changing type of costume, because they don't need the voice; it's already recorded. They
exactly.
have a great HD tape that they're probably, you know, using as the voice of Mickey for the show. There's no need to, you know, have that happen. You know, if they get his mouth to move and his eyes to blink on the right cues, and maybe they can hook up, you know, some kind of little thing in the costume so that the character doesn't have to, the person in there doesn't have to do it. That the eyes go automatically. You know, based on music cues or cues in the thing,
right?
In the show, I think that would probably be a better technology. They'd probably patent that immediately.
Right. So, the verdict is still out. Obviously, I mean, we've got a lot of opinions here. And once again, if you'd like to chime in, 407-499-4335. Of course, if you'd like to comment on the posting on our website as a comment on the blog, feel free to do that. It's under the heading. Let me scroll down here to see exactly what I titled it, because it's been about a week. What did I title this? I titled it...
What are you looking for? I'm sorry.
What the title of the blog is. I titled it Mickey Speaks with Guest. So if you'd like to comment on that particular blog posting, feel free. We'd like to get your comments on that as well. So, Tony, we're going to go to break about 3 minutes early, and if you want to stick around with us through the entire show, when we come back, we will do our critique of the week. Are you cool with that?
I'm fine.
Okay, good deal. All right, 407-499-4335. Once again, the number, we drill it in your head because we want to hear from you guys tonight. The chat room's still up and going tonight as well, so make sure that you avail yourself to that. When we come back, Glenn is going to tally the votes for Critique of the Week, and we're going to tell you what got the most votes tonight, and Tony is going to help us critique it as well tonight. So you guys make sure you come back. 407-499-4335 is the number. Main Street Mugs Live, still to come.
Mugs, it's the time of your life.
This year, you're invited to celebrate life's special moments with Disney. Birthdays, anniversaries, reunions, promising new beginnings, and so much more. So join Disney Parks, where the only thing to decide is, what will you celebrate?
The magic begins the moment you realize you can't afford a Walt Disney World vacation. Contact Amy Sinclair to learn how at earsofexperience.com, the official Disney travel planner for Main Street Mugs.
There we were, surrounded by pirates and aliens.
Our family went on a Disney cruise.
Mom had green stuff all over her face.
Katie loved the spa treatment.
There was sword fights, laser guns, and my sister went to a princess tea party. Yuck!
We all had a blast.
Disney Cruise Line has something magical for everyone of every age.
To learn more about Disney Cruise Line and the new Disney Dream setting sail January 2011, contact Amy Sinclair at earsofexperience.com.
Hi, Olympic Gold. gold medalist and professional beach volleyball player, Misty May Trainer here with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, reminding you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you'll have more energy to dig into the things you like to do. Kick the soccer ball around.
Ride your bike.
Or dance in your room.
Get up and play an hour a day, Doc. Check out how to be a player.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
At www.letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Songer.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh. I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right?
Hi, this is Eric Darnell.
This is David Reagan.
Jamie McMurray.
This is Carl Edwards here for RED,
the entertainment industry's voice for road safety.
Want to make a difference? It's simple. Be responsible.
Plan ahead. Designate before you celebrate.
Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Attention parents of young children.
The following is a partial list of things that are probably happening in your backseat
that you are completely unaware of.
A food item is probably being stuffed into a crack.
A strange sticky substance is being spread everywhere.
Deep, sustained, nasal exploration.
Someone is probably making faces.
Hitting back.
The cleaning of muddy shoes.
Farting!
Something is probably spilling.
Gum is lodging in hair.
And your kids are probably riding car seats that are being used incorrectly. In fact, 3 out of 4 kids are not as safe as they should be. But the latch system is in most cars and makes it easier to get it right.
Just attach the top tether and the lower anchors.
The ones down near the old sandwich and the melted down crayons.
Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety.
A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Be our guest, put our magic to the test. Bring a heart that's full of wonder and let Disney do the rest. Come to our world.
Walt Disney World Resort in Florida. Call 407-W-DISNEY.
For your next vacation, visit another world. A world that grabs your imagination and never lets go. This is Walt Disney World with Epcot Center. Magnificent resorts. The Magic Kingdom. And the Disney MGM Studios theme park. The Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, the most unbelievable vacation on Earth.
Main Street Mugs Live, the last 30 minutes of the show. I'm rejoined by my co-host Glenn Watts and our special guest tonight, Tony Castelnuova from Disney by the Numbers. Gentlemen, hello and welcome back to the show.
Tony, welcome back.
Thanks.
All right. So
I tell you what, who's the characters out there that are messing with my statistics? You know, this was all about numbers and statistics. And in the last 5 minutes over the last break, my numbers have been so askew. Going into the break, some of all thrills was at 35.5%.
Yeah.
Dream Along was in second. Tower was in third. When we went out of the break, Tower of Terror at 43%, Dream Along at 37, and some fell to 19. You guys are messing with me. So you're making our jobs a little harder. That's nice. I appreciate that. After I made a comment about the cyborg Mickey, I deserve it.
They're on you tonight. They got
your
number.
Okay, so the judges have spoken, and we're currently tonight, we're going to critique with Tony, Michael, and myself, we're going to critique Tower of Terror at Hollywood Studios.
There you go. That is the winner of the critique of the week tonight.
Woo, what a ride.
It was a little pitchy, dog. But anyway,
oh, my goodness.
Yes, wow. Anyway, so Tower of Terror, Glenn, you know, you are no longer a TOT virgin.
I am not. I was encouraged by my teammate Michael on our last research trip to take this, and it wasn't as bad as I thought. So I am no longer a TOT virgin. I'm in the cool kids club. So it was a lot of fun.
Yep. So Tony, you know, of course, I'm sure you've done this attraction many times. I'm assuming you do like Tower of Terror, right?
I will give you a quick story. When I was a cast member, I was working at Epcot. I used to do the 3 to 11 shift. I did Tower of Terror 13 times in a row at Park Open, and I just kept going around and around, up and down. It was I love the ride. Absolutely love it.
So. You know, I love it too, and you know, we'll kind of talk about exactly what the attraction is, and that's one thing we do during the critique, Tony, is we basically take people through it. I mean, most people that listen to us have ridden it, obviously, but for those people who maybe have not or need a refresher course, basically what happens is the storyline. Everything at Disney has a storyline. The storyline is set that this is the Hollywood Tower Hotel. And basically, the story goes that there was a family that got trapped in the hotel on a stormy night. They were in an elevator shaft, or in an elevator, I believe it was a freight elevator, if I'm remembering the story correctly. And basically, the hotel got struck by lightning. The power goes out, and the elevator, you know, drops and basically goes out. The cable snaps, and they fall to their death. And now the hotel is haunted by their ghost. And so, as Rod Serling would say, you, if you dare, are about to board the same freight elevator, or elevator much like these same people rode, and you are now in the Twilight Zone. And basically what happens, first off, let's kind of back up a minute. The theming for this, probably some of the best, if not the best, of the entire property. Wouldn't you guys agree?
I agree.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, down to the last cobweb on the last lamp, you know, it's amazing. You step back into, you know, the early 1900s.
Yeah.
So it's pretty,
it's pretty
cool.
And from the moment, but even before you step inside, as you start approaching, you know, you see all of the, you know, the creepy looking lamppost and everything, and you're hearing screams coming from the building. Some of those natural, some of those piped in for effect. Disney's all about the illusion. And, you know, you look up and this building looks aged and it looks, you know, creepy from the outside. You're in the queue area, you know, lots of creepy little nuances happening. But then where it really, really kind of gets freaky and, you know, something's not right here is when you enter into the hotel lobby. And Glenn, I'll let you kind of talk about as a newbie, kind of what you see when you enter into the lobby.
Oh, my goodness. You walk in there and it's dark and it's covered in dust. And, you know, there's old stuff around and it's cobwebbish and it's freaky. You've got the front desk and you know, a broken elevator, and you've got these room keys, and everything, again, is covered in these webs. And it just meeting the first cast member there, it just takes you really back in time. So that was my first impression, you know, back to 1939. It was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And of course, the smells. I mean, there is a musty smell in there.
Yep,
so
there
it
sure
takes
is.
You in all the senses kind of kick in at that moment.
Tony, any comments about the theming in the lobby?
I like it. I wish that when you went into the lobby, you were able to actually like almost go through the middle of that lobby that they have, you know, kind of roped off that you don't really get to
right.
Before you go into the pre-show. I wish that they kind of sent you through the middle of that. To really take it, and I have to say the costumes that the character, the cast members wear there, are fantastic.
Oh, absolutely!
I think those are one of the best costumes on property, right next to the Haunted Mansion.
Right, and if you have a chance to do some research, Tony was talking about the lobby. There's a lot of little hidden things about the lobby that, you know, unfortunately, especially, which, you know, it's kind of like it's a catch 22. You know, you're obviously, most people that work a plan, and, you know, Amy will tell you to work the plan when you're there. You're trying to do these attractions as quickly as possible to get in, get out, to get to the next thing. And unfortunately, you're kind of rushed through the lobby area, you know, unless you know, get the privilege, and I'm using that term lightly, of kind of getting held up in the lobby for a little while. You miss a lot of the subtle nuances, but there's all kinds of things happening in there. You know, look at the names on the guest board, you know, next to the front desk. Look at the mail slots, little things like that, and do some research online. You'll find some interesting little tidbits there. But you queue up in the lobby, and then your group is kind of assigned a I'm getting ahead of myself. But you're basically told to stand in one of four areas, and then you're going to enter into the library area. And once again, the theming in here, amazing. There's lots of little things in here. In fact, there's a hidden Mickey, I believe, in the library. Right, Tony? Do you know about that?
I've heard that. I have not actually seen it myself.
Yeah, and it's hard to find. It's actually up on the not the mantle, but kind of up around the trim of the room, if you will.
Okay.
A hidden Mickey there, so look for that. But you go in to the library, and you know, you're in there for just a few minutes, and, you know, everybody's kind of talking. All of a sudden, the room goes dark. You know, the TV, this black and white TV, comes on in the corner of the room. And Rod Serling's, he's on there, and he basically tells you the same story that I just told you a minute ago about the storyline of about the people that got trapped in the freight elevator. You know, their destiny is obviously, you know, their life is over. Lightning struck the hotel, and he says, if you will, you know, you're next, basically. So you're doomed. You know, you're like, yeah. Oh, great, I'm screwed.
Well, here's the thing I was thinking as a newbie to this ride. What I was thinking in our last research trip was how much it reminded me of the stretching room and Tony brought this up, in the Haunted Mansion, because it's got that creepy library-ish feel.
Yes,
it's got the same smell. It's got the same wood walls. It's there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I was pretty impressed, and again, Rod Serling and the whole Twilight Zone, I love that series, so
right.
Really cool.
And so after you watch this short little film, you're going to exit into, you know, there's really three main areas, which is really cool about this, and all, once again, exquisitely themed. You've got the
right.
Lobby area, you've got the library, but then when you exit the library, you're now in the boiler room. Because
yeah,
you're
the boiler room.
Isn't that awesome?
I'll tell you what. And again, the smells and the theming, it's just it's just over the top. I love it.
Yeah.
Tony, what are your thoughts on the boiler room?
I think that is it's fantastic down there. I'll give you two things to look for. One is in the lobby. There's a 13-diamond rating plaque that hangs in the library from the American Automobile Association, AAA. There is no such thing. The AAA rating only goes up to 5.
Right, but they've got a 13. Cool.
They've got a 13. And when you go down to the boiler room, look for an inspection certificate for the elevator, and the number on that is 1259, and that happens to be the premiere date that the Twilight Zone premiered. It's actually 10/02/1959.
Very cool.
So look for the inspection sticker. You'll see it by, I think it's the middle elevator. So take a look at that.
Very, very cool. Yeah, I mean, see, once again, numbers play a big part in this attraction.
And back to, and by the way, I normally during our critique, we don't say anything about the chat room, but somebody brought up a good question about Summer Nightastic with Tower of Terror and the enhancements. They're doing some enhancements there. So you're going to see, besides the sound effects, you're going to see distant rumble of thunder and some giggles and a disembodied voice of a child. So there's new lighting and sound effects that are going to be in effect at the Tower of Terror during Summer Nightastic.
Yeah,
just want to throw that out. So
I'm really looking forward to that. And fortunately, it's one of those things that they can do pretty much overnight. It's not going to require them to shut it down for refurb.
Yeah, that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah,
so maybe I can get up there. Maybe that's a good excuse for a bike ride. Get up
right.
there.
There you go. So you enter to the boiler room, and you know, at least, you know, that's one thing I will say about Tower of Terror. Now, you know, when we went back a few weeks ago, it was relatively crowded the day we went, but you know, I think standby was 40, 45 minutes, something like that. We stood in line, And, you know, granted, I think the worst part of standing in line for this ride is obviously outdoors, because once you get inside, it tends to move pretty quickly. At least that's been my experience. Tony, you know, have you pretty much made it through this ride pretty quickly?
Yeah, it does move quickly once you get inside. Once you get into the boiler room, it really moves fast.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was going to say, because, I mean, you know, granted, there's a lot of queue area to walk around in there in the boiler room. But, I mean, literally, I've always done that. I've always just kind of walked. I've never really been stuck in line very much there. And so, Tony, I'll let you kind of talk about what happens next. Once you walk through the boiler room and you're actually queuing up to ride to get into the elevator, kind of talk us through that what happens there.
Yeah, so you get in front of your elevator, you're put on a little numbered spot, 1, 2, 3. And that's the row, the corresponding row that you're going to get to sit in your elevator. The elevator attendant, you know, comes over in his costume and loads you into the elevator. He gives you, you know, some great cast member thing, you know, like have a nice drop or,
yeah,
you know, some spiel. The elevator doors close, and from that point it's almost pitch black.
Yes.
And you feel the elevator going up. The doors open. It is very black. So now your eyes have adjusted to the darkness, and you really can't see anything. It's all black.
Yep.
And it's almost like a little mini pre-show, and you see the five people that have been stuck in this hotel. And then, well, the doors open, and you see the five people, and then you feel the elevator moving forward,
which is amazing, because I've seen some behind the scenes shows, and this that's something that had never been done before for your car. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, once again, you were a cast member. You might know some behind the scenes stuff you could talk about. Basically, from what I guess, you know, from what I have been able to think and figure out, you basically got two vertical tracks. You've got the one that takes you up first to the first series of effects that you see, like you said, with the floating candlestick and everything, until your car moves forward, and then you've got the main shaft, I guess, that is the drop shaft. Is that correct, Tony?
Yeah, that's correct. There's the loading shaft, and then I think there's even another shaft that you actually exit from.
Yeah.
Once a ride goes to a certain point, you're pulled back into another shaft that you exit from. Which opens up then the other side where you reload. So.
Right, but it's amazing that this thing leaves its track and yeah, basically becomes its own little ride vehicle.
Yeah. And once you hear that click,
yep,
you know what's going to happen from
there. Oh yeah, oh yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. And you know, that's the thing. You know, Glenn, you were afraid of it. You know, before you got
I respected
on
it. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and that's putting it mildly. And Mary, you know, Mary in the chat room, she's like, you know, she's kind of on the fence. And I'm not just saying this. Now we've covered this on the show. I am a big thrill ride person. It takes a lot to get to me. But my wife, C. Miller Pampered Chef Charity, she is on record for hating thrill rides. She doesn't like roller coasters. In fact, and it really didn't make sense to me the first time, because she says, I don't like that feeling in my stomach that you get when you're going down the hill of a roller coaster. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You're about to be dropped repeatedly on Tower of Terror. But, you know, I will say this. It doesn't get to me. It really, you know, granted, maybe I've never gotten on a really aggressive ride sequence, you know, because there are several different ones that it will put you through. But I've never really been dropped that far, not really far enough for it to get to me. And so, you know, guys, some of you that may kind of be on the fence about this, it's really... If you can get over in your mind, the anticipation really is the hardest part, and it's not that bad. Tony, what do you think?
I don't even call this a thrill ride. I really don't.
I got you.
All right, Everest is a thrill ride. Rock and Roller Coaster is a thrill ride. This is not a thrill ride. I find this ride actually fun.
Yeah.
I find it fun and amusing. It's just... You're going up and down in this vertical, you know, space. I'm like, yeah, this is fine. This is great.
Yep.
You know, you get the feeling that your stomach is in your mouth, but hey, that's fun.
But I mean, Glenn, you know, Glenn, you got off of it, and your first thing was that's not that bad. It's
no,
really
and I want to do it again. Actually, that it wasn't bad. I'm more of a forward motion person. I'm more, you know, I'm a speed freak, and I like to go forward. But dropping is a different story. But yeah, I as soon as we got off, I was like, that wasn't bad at all, and it was a great experience for me.
Right. And so
speaking speaking of speed,
yes,
you make the there's 130 feet that you do in 1.5 seconds.
Wow,
that's pretty quick.
So you're moving. Quick. You're moving very quickly when you if you're at the top and you're making full plunge, you're doing that in 1.5 seconds.
My
gosh. I read an interesting stat the other day about I was doing research on this particular attraction after getting off of it, of course, and then I was looking at the torque factor, and it's the torque used to generate all that force and that speed is equal to 275 Corvette engines. So I understood it. So okay, thanks, Michael. Thanks for dragging me on that one.
You guys are scaring poor Mary in the chat room. She's like, what? There's no way.
It's 110,000 foot-pounds of torque is generated by the two ride engines.
Yeah.
now, Tony, once again, statistics, numbers, kind of bringing that into this. How many, I guess there's, if I remember correctly, in the boiler room, is there four ride vehicles? How many people can they put in here at a given time?
Yeah, they can, let me scroll back up here. There's four loading zones that are used, and they merge into two paths at the top of the tower.
Okay.
So they have two shafts. Now, Disneyland has actually the four shafts.
Okay.
They did theirs after Walt Disney World did theirs.
Right.
And I think Tokyo also has the four as well, because they were done afterwards. They learned from their mistake at Disney World. So.
And the height of Tower of Terror at Walt Disney World?
Is 199 feet, and it's just under the FAA regulation to have a red lamp.
Bingo.
There it is.
If you're at 200 feet, you have to have a red lamp. Tower of Terror sits at 199, so they don't have to have a little red blinking thing.
Right. Now, if you have a bird that sits on top and decides to perch, you know, they're technically over the limit, but we won't tell. We won't tell the FAA.
Well, it's by far. I mean, it's definitely. I mean, if you're driving up, Tower of Terror can be seen from everywhere. So I mean, it's very imposing.
It's very imposing.
Yeah. Very much.
Yeah. So I would definitely say, and once again, it's not for everybody, and I don't try to pretend that everybody's gonna like it. But I would say honestly, if you can get the guts to do this, it's really, really not that bad. It's the worst part is overthinking it. Go with it, have fun. It's kind of like anything else at Disney. They mess with your mind. It's all about the illusion. It's all about the special effects. It's really not that bad. When you kind of strip all that aside, it's really not that bad of a ride. I think you're going to be fine on this. Most people are going to be fine. That's a question for you, Tony. How many people daily puke on this thing?
I hope none.
Yeah, exactly.
I rather doubt those numbers, Tony, but I'm just going to say, okay, all right.
Now they don't call it puke down there. It's called a protein spill.
Protein spill. There you go.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice.
It's called a protein spill.
Tony, in the last few minutes that we have, you know, it's really cool because, you know, I think, once again, you're a man with a lot of information. You're a former cast member, and people are asking some questions. I love these behind-the-scenes questions that we're getting in the chat room. I don't know if you're paying attention to the chat room as well, but, you know, of course, when you talk about Tower of Terror, you know, it also kind of brings up memories and everything of Haunted Mansion because, you know, in a way, they kind of, you know, are the same type of feel there. And so we were talking about the library, and Glenn made reference. It's kind of like the stretching room at Haunted Mansion. People were asking, Mary said, I got to know. Does the stretching room really stretch? So do you have an answer for that?
The one at Disney World is no. The one in Disneyland is yes.
Okay. There you go.
That is correct.
From what I understand, and I'm gonna you know, toot my own little horn here, because I love the behind-the-scenes stuff, and I've still got to do the Keys to the Kingdom tour to get down into the Utilidors. I would love to do that. But from what I understand, because of the water table value in Florida, it can't go down. If it did, you'd be underwater basically. And so I think for the most part, it's just effects and rumbling and, you know, a lot of things going on there to make you think that you're moving when really I don't think you move at all. Do you, Tony?
No, not at all. Yep. Not at all. And actually when you're at the Magic Kingdom, the Utilidors are actually above grade and the Magic Kingdom actually sits on top of it. So you're really on the second floor.
Right.
When you're walking around the Magic Kingdom, I think the elevation, I think they say, it's on Main Street, right on the front of the train station. I think it's 114 feet.
Right.
They tell you what the elevation is.
Yep. And, another attraction that people may not realize, kind of along the same lines, that did not move, and Glenn, I don't know if you know this, back before the seas, back before it was, got the whole Nemo remake, when you were in the, what did they call the tubes that you went down?
The hydrolators.
Yeah, those didn't move either. you didn't go anywhere, did you?
Again, and to answer Mary's question, I was trying to be gentle in the chat room. I was trying to, not say, give all the secrets away.
Yeah.
But, the hydrolators, they didn't move, but they had an effect with the floor that they shook back and forth, and the bubble effect on the walls.
Yeah.
And, the hydrolators, in fact, Seabase Alpha, I want to live there at one point in my life. When I was about 12, I actually wanted to take up residence at Seabase Alpha. I did not want to leave. My parents were like, we got to go. I'm like, no, I'm not leaving.
Yep.
I love this place. So, but the hydrolators are really cool.
Yep.
So, if you guys are interested, if you don't know what we're talking about, go to, say, YouTube and just type in hydrolators, and there are some videos out there.
Yep. So. Absolutely. So, wow, man, we've covered a lot of information tonight, Tony. It's really cool because, like I said, you can kind of address things as not only a fan but as a former cast member, and we've really had a great time having you on the show tonight. Thank you for hanging out with us.
No, thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
I don't get to talk about Disney as much as I'd like to.
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
we
that means you're just going to have to be a guest on our show more often. That's okay.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Every Tuesday night at 9, so.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you can just become our regular.
There you go.
And once again, if you would like to get in contact with Tony, his website, probably the easiest way, DisneyByTheNumbers.com. Spell that out. And once again, if you can't remember that, we will link it under the websites mentioned on the show area on our website, MainStreetMugsLive.blogspot.com. You can find him on Facebook. You can find him on Twitter. He's everywhere. So make sure that you avail yourself to that. Tony, once again, thank you so much. And we hope that you will join us again very, very soon.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, man. We are going to say bye-bye for another week here on Main Street Mugs Live. Let's talk about all the places that they can find us, Glenn. They can find us, of course, on our website. That is our home, mainstreetmugslive.blogspot.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is MSM_live. MSM_live. So look for us on Twitter as well. So,
and if you want to call during the week and leave us a voicemail, it's 407-499-4335. We do check our voicemails. So
that's right.
leave us a message.
That's
We'd
right.
love to hear from you.
When the show's not on the air, we have our voicemail up and going. So for Glenn Watts, I am Mike Miller saying thanks for spending 2 hours of your life with us tonight and talking about our favorite subject, Disney. Until next week, God bless. Have a great week. Have a magical week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.